Hey guys, welcome back to the Busby Babe podcast. This is Colin, joined by my co-host Matt over the internet.
What's up, guys?
We are recording from separate locations for the very first time, so if there's...
Yeah, so let us know how you feel, I guess.
Yeah, definitely let us know how the audio is.
Yeah, even though we're totally going to listen to this, we definitely need an outside opinion.
Yeah, but we're not going to re-record this, so...
Oh, hell no. We're not re-recording this.
So, Manchester United, second game of the season, a 1-1 draw at the Molineux against Wolves. A game where... The storyline has definitely become about Paul Pogba, and we'll get more into that later.
Okay, wait, before we completely go into this,
Colin. Or we'll get into this now. All right.
Okay, so, I don't get any of the hate towards him, regardless of penalty. This has nothing to do with what I'm talking about right now. There's no excuse for anybody to be racist. I don't care if Paul Pogba is so selfish and, like, the worst person alive, it doesn't make it right for anyone ever to be racist.
Yeah.
Like, that is not okay, and that's what I have to say about this. Now, into the penalty. All right, go ahead, Colin. I'm sorry.
Right, so this penalty issue, I think Ole and Marcus Rashford also addressed it after the match ended, that this was a decision between the two of them, and they both agreed that Pogba would take this penalty. I am okay with that. I'm normally of the train of thought that one person should be the designated penalty taker. But I'm not going to argue that somebody who converted 8 penalties last season shouldn't take a penalty for us. You know, and people miss penalties.
Yes.
Even the best in the world make miss penalties.
Oh, for sure. And, I mean, it's not like he skied it. Like,
no, it was on target.
Patricio is a good goalkeeper. Yeah. Like,
it was at a good height to be saved, but... The fact of the matter is, the 60 minutes before that, Pogba was in control of the game. He was running the show for Manchester United. You know, if he makes that penalty, he's man of the match. So this one moment, like, obviously does not excuse the horrible racist abuse that's been directed his way.
In no way whatsoever.
Even the criticism that's been, you know, sent towards him in some of these post-match shows, Gary Neville in particular, it's like... It's
like Gary Neville shit talked him, right? Like, he was talking shit about him, but then he turns around and says, like, yo, racism is not cool. And that's, like, that's fine. Like, the way he did that. Like, I don't think those things don't go together.
No.
At all.
But
like,
I don't think that the criticism is justified when it comes to just the penalty, you know? It's.
Nah. Like, our defensive display, like, to be honest, like, that's unlucky. Like, that was a good game for us.
The goal,
like,
they scored was remarkable. And that was the only.
It was insane. What was worse, I think it was Housen from the Full Time Devils thing that said, like, what was bad was the fact that we didn't mark anybody on that goal. Like, and I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
Like, there were so many other issues rather than just Paul Pogba, like, doing that. Like, there were other opportunities. Granted, there weren't many. Like, there were not that many, like, we could have had more solid chances, but this is the way our midfield's going to be, right? Like,
yeah, so I would say our midfield played excellent in the first half. The second half, Wolves came out and they were, you know, they showed that they wanted a goal and they ended up getting one. And it was off of a short corner, so I think both Shaw and Maguire kind of bit on it, and they went towards the person who was going to send the cross in, and then Ruben Neves just got off a fantastic shot.
Yeah, and, I mean, you got to think about how many other teams are going to go to the Molineux and lose points. Like, that's...
Yeah, the only team...
And granted, I wish
them,
we hadn't,
the only team
but
that
we
beat
did
them
get
two
one.
Times last season was Liverpool.
Right. And we still got a point. Like, see, the issue is with last year is, like, the Wolves games, like, we would just lose.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so from all these games, and I'm not even talking about, like, winning the league, I'm not going to go crazy, but, like, the reason why the last couple years we haven't been even close, and I don't include the second place as close, just to put that out there, is because we lose to the smaller teams. I still remember when we drew to Stoke. That still triggers me to this day, but
yeah, we lost 2-1 to Huddersfield.
It's these teams
that season.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, these are the teams we need to get points from. Like, even if we're not going to win, don't get me wrong, I do want to win, but it's important that we at least get a minimum of a point. Like, we need a point. Like, that is so important. It's so important, just because those are the things that we didn't do the last couple of seasons, is that we didn't get any points from them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that that is so essential, that we get something from these results. Like I said, our defense played well, and I mean, still, this is the second game that Harry Maguire is, you know, played. So I mean, our defense is only going to get better. Our midfield's a different story, but I do think that we're in an okay spot for now. In the spring, it's going to be sketchy because of midfield, but
right.
Like I said, I think we're okay right now.
Yeah, there's already stories talking about United need to do something in January. But that aside, and just looking at this right now, I'm still pretty optimistic after that performance, because you know, we control the entire first half. We get a goal. Probably should have had two or three more goals. Honestly, my biggest issue in terms of player performance was Jesse Lingard, because there were two chances he should have turned into goals. But
yeah, and here's my point. Every single time we talk about Jesse, his best Jesse Lingard is coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Like, and this is why we need... Man, it's awkward, because, like, we need to put faith in Pereira, even though I don't have the faith to put it in him. I really wanted him to do well, and I had hope that he would do well. But, I mean, he's got to show me something, you know? Like, I saw he had potential, but, like, here's the thing about Pereira, Scott McTominay, and Fred... is that the time is over to say, oh, well, you know, I think they're going to be good. No, this is the season to show us. This is the season to where they become, like, top 10 midfielder in the Premier League, or they don't, and we get somebody else, and we bring in James Garner, give him a shot, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't think that, like, the time for the trial run, I guess you could say, is over. Like, we don't have time for that anymore. It's... You know, Scott's been here, and I know a lot of people still consider him like a youth. I think we're phasing out of that. Like,
yeah,
that is
like
not a thing anymore. Yeah,
but,
no,
but
he's
definitely
not
good enough to be playing. I think he and Pogba playing next
to
each other.
Oh, yes, for sure,
good.
For sure.
I would maybe like to
but
see...
But it's the third that we need.
Right. I would maybe like to see Pogba play at that 10 instead of Jesse Lingard. I know we've probably talked about this on every episode so far this season, but, you know, he's naturally more gifted as an attacker, and you saw him... against Wolves, how effective he
is
in the middle of the park. It's just, I don't know if I trust Fred in that role as a defensive midfielder.
Right. Well, that's the issue with me having Pogba at the 10 is who's behind him.
Yeah, I mean, maybe play Matic, but he's just so slow.
He's just so slow. He takes, you know, 10 touches.
Unless you tell him to just play basically as another center back and just sit on the halfway line when we're possessing. But then that takes another midfielder out of.
But
he's
still. But
he
still gets
attack.
Caught out.
Yeah, he'll still. Yeah.
And I, with Paul Pogba's passing ability, I actually disagree with you. I think that he should stay there, and then we should. To be honest, I really just want Gomez to come in. Like, if we could just have Gomez come in at the 10, and just give him some time, because he can dribble the ball. On a dime, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he can turn and make someone miss. It's just, you gotta give him that chance to do it.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Pereira is the answer to our number 10. I don't think Jesse is either. So, I think that we need to think outside the box, and, I don't know, a lot of people are getting mad because we're not playing youth. We're still playing youth more than Jose Mourinho did. That's what everybody has to realize. I think Angel Gomez got 2 minutes in a League Cup game or an FA Cup game, and he hit the side netting. Like, we've already seen more youth than we have, like, comparable to the previous seasons.
Yeah, part
so
of
I just
that
want
is because...
Ole to, like, push it more and bring these guys in.
Part of that is because Ole doesn't really have much of a choice, though.
Oh, you're not wrong, but...
But yeah,
two minutes for Mason Greenwood, not good enough. Like, that sub needs to be made with 20 minutes left. 15,
honestly,
at the latest.
I'd maybe like to see Mason Greenwood at number 10.
I mean, it wouldn't be a bad idea. Man, I'm open to whatever. I'm not even going to lie. I'm just spitballing ideas, but...
And I think our defense is good enough now that we can take those kind of risks. I think that's why he started Daniel James against Wolves. Because Daniel James didn't have a great game, but... he put the work in. He closed down on people when he lost the ball. He did lose the ball a lot, unfortunately. But, you know, Ollie,
but that's going to happen.
Ollie's able to take that
chance
on him. Yeah, he's young. This is his first Premier League start ever, you know?
Right. And we're also not going to have a choice but to play youth later.
Right.
Like, we're playing so many games. This is why, the Europa League can be a good thing, but it can also be a bad thing. Because it's like, what do you want to prioritize? Do you want to prioritize, FA Cup, League Cup? Or do you want to prioritize Europa League? And it's weird because, I want to prioritize FA Cup and League Cup, but there's no guarantee we get into the top four, so I want to prioritize Europa League, and my brain just goes back and forth and back and forth. So I don't really know what I want, us to go for, but playing the youth, especially when we get in the later stages, well, if we can get into the later stages of, the FA Cup and League Cup, we're not going to have a choice but to play those guys.
Yeah.
Just because we're going to be injured, or not injured, we're going to be tired, and who knows, we may get injured is what I meant to say, but I think that Garner's pretty important in the later part of the season.
Yeah, it's just that it's that really that number 10 role I think I'm worried about most at this point, but you know,
just,
I think
just Gomez, man, just Gomez.
Or, hear me out, we outbid Darby, we bring back Waza.
Oh, Jesus. I mean, I don't know what to say, Colin. All right. I mean, you know what? Like I said, I don't care. I'm willing to try anything.
You probably shouldn't justify that with a response anyway. So
no, I couldn't. My brain hurt.
So moving on a little bit. Let's talk about our goal, because that was one period where Jesse Lingard did look okay. And normally Jesse Lingard's passing is the weakest part of his game. But
yeah,
that really quick interchange that they get the ball from midfield to Lingard to Rashford to Martial just so quickly. And then Martial one-touch finish, you know, into the Wolves net. I think that partnership between Marcus Rashford and Anthony Martial might be as much of a sure thing as the Lindelof-Maguire partnership seems right now. You know, it just seems so natural that the two of them are, you know, buying into these roles now as the leaders of this offense.
Yeah. And to be honest, Tony's got his number back. For me, he's got no excuse but to score over 20 goals.
Absolutely.
At minimum.
I mean, we've seen him be streaky the past two seasons, but part of that has to be, that season where we finished second, he scored 11 goals and had, seven assists in the first half of the season. And then we bring in Alexis. It totally destroys the chemistry of the squad, and Martial doesn't really play that much for the rest of the season, despite having a really good first half. And then the next season, he goes on that run under Jose, and then he kind of picks up an injury. He has, you know, the issue of his affair being exposed, you know, and then he doesn't really score much for the rest of the season either. He also, I think it's worth mentioning, played out wide left last season, pretty much all of last season. And
he's the best. He's just the best natural finisher.
He just looks
like,
so
as a Marcus Rashford fan, that's hard. Yeah. Like he's got it, man.
No,
you know, he's just got to do it.
We're seeing both of them stay involved. You know, Anthony Martial doesn't just stay out left anymore. He's actively involved in the build up and trying to find a goal. I think Daniel James on the right shows promise. He just needs to get better at decision making and improving his technical ability and on the ball.
And we knew that coming in.
Yeah,
you know. We knew that.
Aaron Wan-Bissaka is probably the best possible right back to support him on that right hand side too, because
probably the best right back in the league.
Yeah, Wan-Bissaka had another terrific game against Wolves. He should have had an assist when Lingard scuffed that shot and sent it straight into his own face, but you know, it just gets me mad.
It'd be that way sometimes.
Yeah, it really do.
Okay, I have a question for you that's completely off topic. Well, not really off topic, but on topic, kind of. But how do you feel about Alexis? Do you want him? Do you want the loan out? Do you think we should keep him? What do you think?
I mean, we're probably going to have to end up paying some of his wages anyway, whether he leaves permanently or on loan. But, I mean, at this,
I think Ole has been, and I, all right, here's the thing. People thought the transfer window was real bad. Right?
Yeah.
And I don't think that it was great. If we get Alexis at least out on a loan with option to buy, even if we have to pay out, like, we're still going to be saving money in the long run because we're not going to be paying his...
his full wage.
Stupid wages.
Yeah.
Because, all right, here's the thing. Like, I do think that it makes me nervous that we're going to have one less attacker, even if it is Alexis. But the thing is that we're getting these guys out. I mean, in the last, you know, little bit, the one thing we can do to make this transfer window, and granted, bringing people in is over, but if we could get Alexis out on loan and possibly get Marcus Rojo to Fenerbahce, like, yeah, it's not as bad. Like, because getting these guys out is also really important, because... like, that just frees up wages, just frees up money.
Yeah.
And it's more wages and money for the Glazers to put in their pocket. No, I'm just playing. Yeah.
I want to...
no, but January should be interesting if we can get those guys out. That's just money we can spend.
I want to preface my answer by saying I'm not saying that these two situations are totally comparable, because obviously one of them worked out much better than our current situation looks. But one of the... like famous anecdotes of Sir Alex Ferguson and his genius was the summer of 95, when he moved on from Paul Ince, Andrei Kanchelskis, and Mark Hughes. Three, you know, really important older players in the side that were part of Premier League winning teams. And he put his trust in the younger players to come in and fill those roles. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying that, you know, we've got the next David Beckham and Paul Scholes in our side, but I do think that it's important.
Jesus, I wish, man.
You know, sometimes a squad makeover is incredibly useful in improving the confidence of your younger players and building chemistry for the long run with the, you know, what is definitely a young squad that we have right now.
Yeah, and I also think that the transfer window, I still don't think is as bad as we, like, a lot of people think, or at least I think, because Antonio Valencia is not at the club. You know, Lukaku's not at the club. You know, Fellaini's not at the club. Like, these things do take time, but we're not as far from, like, a full rebuild as I think a lot of people think we are. You know what I mean? Like, I think that Marcus Rojo getting out, Alexis getting out, that's huge. With the exception of, like, Darmian, I don't think there's anybody else I, like, super want out.
Yeah, and we're seeing,
you know what I mean?
Now,
like,
from Lukaku.
I don't want Ashley Young at the club, but, I mean, that's not going to change.
Yeah, but he's not a problem. So. You know, he's not somebody who stirs
the
pot.
Yeah.
I think we're seeing from Lukaku now that he was kind of that player who was just unhappy with the situation. And, I mean, he's stirring the pot now publicly, trying to, you know, get some of the good press back.
Yeah, and it's so dumb. He blames it on Manchester United fans, and I was like, man, I used to like you, but now since you're talking shit, like, I don't know what to think about you now, because literally, man, like, he's saying how the media, and it was always his, Pogba's, and Sanchez's fault, and I was like, yeah, because you got, your price tag was super high, you're playing for the biggest club in England. Well, I mean, you know what I mean.
Probably, but the world.
You're playing for Manchester United. You've got to freaking show up, my dude. Like, you can't just come in and be like, oh, well, I wasn't doing well enough. Like, you didn't bring enough. Like, you're playing for Manchester United and you've got a touch that, like, just bounces off of your feet. Bro, you gotta stop the ball, dog. Like, you have to stop it just so you can score. Like, and that's what frustrates the ever living hell out of me. And I was like, well, yeah, that's what big players do. And that's why, you know, I mean, I do think that he'll do well at Inter because the style. And he was a very Jose Mourinho-esque player. But, I mean, this is my point with the transfer window, is that, like, the rebuild's not... now we just got to bring guys in. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest issue is... and I know that that was issue towards the end.
And in order,
Michael,
to do that,
and part of the season,
we need to be able to afford it by getting rid of Rojo and Alexis.
Who probably
won't play this season anyway.
Yeah, which, respectfully, that's bullshit, Colin. Like, we do have the money to do that.
Well,
like,
yes.
We have the money to do it.
But in the eyes of the
now
Glazers...
now they don't have any excuse.
In the eyes of
right.
the Glazers, we have to free up money so that they can make a profit.
Yeah. Just so dumb. But anyways, with that, like, little amount of players, we get rid of two more guys, hopefully Darmian, like, maybe in January.
Yeah, it seems like Darmian agreed to move next summer with an Italian club, I think Inter.
Yeah, there's always, man, it was Juventus, and then it was Inter, and then it was Milan, it was
right.
just, it was everywhere. And, but anyways, so I do think that, like, the rebuild isn't as far away as people think it is. I think that a lot of people are just kind of Debbie Downers.
Yeah, the fact that, we're and, even talking about this 2 games into the season shows how much people are still hung on that, you know?
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I do think that, I really think we should have brought in more people. But getting these guys out is arguably just as important.
Yeah, and we're seeing and, that Ole, you know, identifying his targets has worked out so far.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We just need the Glazers to quit being bitches and bring people in, you know? Like, yeah, that's all that is.
Every goal we've scored this season, almost the entire team has celebrated with, you know?
And that's amazing. We're united. You know, we feel like we're having fun. And granted, I want us to have fun because that's very important because it is a game, but this is also
literally
football.
The entire point, like, of all of this.
Yeah, so, yeah. But anyways, so do you want to go into Crystal Palace?
Right. So Crystal Palace's first 2 games this season was the first was a 0-0 draw with Everton, and the second was a 1-0 loss to newly promoted Sheffield United. So I'm feeling pretty good. The fact that this is at Old Trafford also has helped that. Old Trafford atmosphere at the beginning of the season is uncontested best in England. And they showed that at Chelsea. It was, you know, we watched that game together. You could just hear it through mm-hmm. the television, how loud everyone was and
oh,
how
yeah,
excited the crowd
sure.
was. And once we hit those 2 goals on the break in really quick succession, the place just erupted. They were singing pretty much the entire match, and I feel like this is another opportunity for us to bust out the 4-0 FC.
This is a very important game. It's these games that we were talking about earlier. These are the games that we need to win. The games we should win, we need to smash them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no playing around. Like, we have to get the Crystal Palaces, and we have to beat the Sheffields, and, you know, we have to beat the little teams. We just do.
Mm-hmm.
And the middle of the table teams are almost just as important, because the top six, don't get me wrong, they're important, but these are the games we should expect to win, and then when we compete against the top six, top four, we go again, right? Like, we compete. And if we compete and we're playing entertaining football, don't get me wrong, like, we don't get a result against City, Liverpool, all those, like, everybody's mad, but they're not, like, as mad, because those teams are obviously very good.
Yeah,
but
so...
we're good enough to go at these teams, is what I'm saying. Like,
right.
we're not going to have to hit these teams on the break like we will, you know, Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, City. Like, we can actually go against these guys, and that's what we need to do.
And in the case of Crystal Palace, it's definitely worth pointing out that they play a pretty deep 4-4-2 midfield with Milivojevic and MacArthur. Luka Milivojevic is their penalty taker. He's probably an above average midfielder, but he's not, you know, he's definitely more of a defensive minded guy. James MacArthur, their other option. They've also got Max Meyer, who's kind of an average German midfielder. Jeffrey Schlupp, who's mostly played defender, has been playing at midfield for them. This is an average team. They should probably be middle of the pack in the Premier League. But I think the fact that they've changed formation and they've lost some key players has definitely changed their look, and they're still adjusting. And you can see that in their early games this season.
I
don't think they've scored a goal yet. Yeah, because it was a 0-0 draw. And
no, they haven't. Yeah, 0-0, and then they lose to Sheffield.
So we should be fine, is what
no,
I'm
we
thinking.
Should.
Yeah.
No, we should, but... This is why it's so important. We need these games to not only build our confidence, but, like, you know, this is a game where we have Gomez, Greenwood, Chong all on the bench. You know, like, mm-hmm. at minimum, I think. I think Greenwood, you could start, you know. I don't know if he'll get the start, but it was kind of strange because Ollie talked about how who's the best finisher. They asked him that in one of the press conferences, and then he says Greenwood, but he only gives Greenwood 2 minutes.
Right.
You know, give him at least 15 or 10. Like, first off, he's got to get on the pitch and fill his lungs up with some air. Like, he's got to, you know, get in there and start doing some running. Because even if you warm up, you're not really warmed up until you start making runs. And like, that's 2 minutes is not good enough.
That's good enough. Area against Wolves that I think we saw Solskjaer as a young manager.
Yes, I agree.
He's shown this in the past, that his substitutions aren't always effective. And maybe it's because of the quality that we have available on the bench or the lack of thereof. But he has to get better at adjusting to the game, I think. Because a lot of the times when we do perform well, it's because we start well. It's because he's set up the team in a way that's successful, but he doesn't necessarily respond to the game particularly well.
It's weird that we call him a young manager because he's almost 50.
You know, this is only his
third. No, you're not wrong.
He's managed. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but it's just funny to me. If you even count Cardiff, that was kind of a BS situation. But anyways,
yeah, he was not a good job to take.
Nah, he came into a shitty situation, and then like it just got worse, and they were like, sorry, man, you didn't make our shitty situation better. You gotta go." And I was like, "All right, whatever." But anyways, yeah, I completely agree with you on the Crystal Palace stuff.
Cool.
I'm good on Crystal Palace.
You want to go ahead and do the Fergie time score prediction? Then we'll wrap things up.
Yes, that's cool with me.
So, I'm going to go first. I mentioned 4-0 FC. I actually think it'll be probably like 3-0. But I could see it 4-0. I definitely don't think that they will score, just because our defense has been so good and their offense has been pretty weak. But I could see 3-0, 2-0 maybe.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't think there's any excuse for us to not get at least 3-0. Like, something like that. It's at home. Like, Crystal Palace is just, I mean, try to give them respect, but they're just bad, right? Like,
yeah, maybe
there's no reason why we don't do really well.
Yeah.
There's just no excuse.
Maybe if we had if the squad lets some of the distractions this week and the racism abuse, if that kind of gets in their heads a little bit, maybe. But it seems like the fans are, there's a plan in the Stretford End to show, you know, massive support for Paul Pogba. There's going to be, I think they're going to make a sign for him and probably sing some songs about him. But, and that's a good gesture from the fans in particular, because I think it shows that,
especially since
a lot of the abuse,
we got to redeem ourselves.
Yeah, a lot of the abuse online, I'm sure, is not from fans who go to the games. But of course, there's always fans, you know, there's fans at every team that are, you know, that extremist, undesirable fan. And I think Manchester United needs to, you know, own up to that a little bit and address that. And I think it's good that the fan support, and particularly the singing section, is going to address that.
Yeah, and I'm glad, because it's hard as, I mean, I'm not a professional footballer, but I can only imagine that it's got to be hard to view the fans in good standing if, you know, there's a couple fans that literally ruined it for us all, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want Paul Pogba to leave, but he was racially abused, you know, all that. Like, I mean, we're not really getting players and all that. Like, I hope he doesn't leave, but if he does, like, I can't really blame him, like, after all that. You know what I mean? Like, football fans are very fickle, but I mean, I'm rooting for the guy. I always have been. And the thing that frustrates me is that as long as they're wearing a United shirt, even if I don't care for them, like, I want them to do well. Like, I dislike Ashley Young with a very large passion, as everybody knows. But if he's on the pitch, I want him to do well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's
the,
a United player.
The reason
player,
you're upset with
him
is because he's consistently poor. You know?
Except for Fellaini, dude. Fuck that guy. I'm glad he's gone. Anyways, I'm really glad that there's been such a big thing about supporting Paul and saying all of this, and he responded to it like he should have. He wasn't angry, he wasn't like upset, he was saying, like, you know, I'm a very cultured individual, like, he's his family is from Guinea, you know, what did he say? He has a French passport. He has an English driver's license. His wife is from Bolivia, I believe. And he said all these things, and I thought that was, like, a great way to respond and not just be, because very easily he could respond to that very angrily, and then, like, it wouldn't make those people right, but it would almost justify them doing that because that's what they want him to do, right? Like, well, they, it's very easy for him to be mad and go to the press and say all
these things. In the social
media
sense, definitely, they want to bait him. But I don't, I mean, I think any, a response of anger, I think, would be justified towards his racist abuse.
No, you're not wrong, but that's why, what I'm saying is
you just mean, like,
the
social media, like, realm, like, on Twitter, if he had responded to them, it would have been exactly what they wanted him to do.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I'm saying. And he did it in a classy way, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
he,
I mean,
he did it in the way that
he's a leader, like, in the French national team, and he's a black Muslim. Like, he's put up with a lot in his football career.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh yeah, especially the, like, he played well in the World Cup, but you go to Twitter, all the France fans were, you know, ragging on this guy. I don't get it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, score prediction.
Yeah, right.
Sorry.
That's what I
score prediction. Sorry. Are you going?
I already gave my score prediction, remember?
I'm going to say... I'm going to go similar. I'm not going to go crazy, because I wanted to go, like, 5-0, but I am going to, like, confirm a, like, a 3-0, I think.
Yeah.
There's no excuse that we don't get it. I think we should put Greenwood on and give him, like, 20 minutes to do something.
Yeah, I think maybe he'll get the chance to nick a goal. I think we'll be up like 2-0 pretty comfortably in the second half, and he'll probably bring on some people to give a chance.
These are the games we also we can get that goal differential up.
Oh yeah.
That will help us, and that's
also
that's huge for us.
I mean, just looking at the rest of the Premier League after these first two games, Arsenal are they've won both of their matches, but they don't look great. They also got those wins against pretty poor teams in Newcastle and Burnley, two teams that people kind of expect to maybe get relegated. Tottenham had to come back against Aston Villa, then had a really good performance against City. City, I think, look shaky a little bit in defense. I think we saw that against Tottenham. Liverpool definitely look a bit shaky, but they've still won both of their games. It seems like we're not... I don't want to say that we're not too far off, because obviously I don't think we're going to win the league or anything, but I think we could definitely finish top four if, you know, the current trends continue.
Also, I don't say we're going to, I'm not going to say that we're going to win the league, but Leicester had that crazy year, right? Like, it's not impossible. I want everybody to understand that. Like, now, granted, I don't want everybody, you know, at me, oh, Matt, what happened, blah, 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 you know.
Hashtag
but,
we believe.
I mean, it's possible, you know? Like, it's not an impossible thing. Like, it would be very hard, because the second half of the season, I think, is going to really kick our ass. But, I mean, we go again, right?
Right.
That's all I got to say. We go again.
All right, thanks for joining us. Be sure to check out The Busby Babe for all your Manchester United needs. And follow us on Twitter, at The Busby Babe. I'm at Colin of the Shots 95. Matt
you're
is
so,
at
so
underscore
lame.
Matthew Barnes underscore.
Yeah, that's kind of lame, too.
Yeah. So we tweet about Manchester United a lot. We share all the Busby Babe stuff.
Yes.
And give us some feedback on this episode. Like we said at the beginning, it's the first one we've recorded from different locations over the internet.
We're in a long distance relationship now.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard to maintain, but with your support, we'll pull through. I've been Colin.
I've been Matt.
We'll see you next time.